morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie George and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football today. It's good to be back. Took a week off here for Railbird Central. I went to the Lambeau Field of concert venues. Went out to Red Rocks Amphitheater out in Denver, Colorado. Right outside Denver, at least. Fantastic, fantastic place. I highly suggest if you ever get the chance, you ever want to go, it's beautiful, it's great. I saw the string cheese incident there. Amazing show, great music. They put on a pyrotechnic show along with it, a laser light show. Well, it wasn't exactly lasers, but a big-time light show on stage. It's great stuff. But this is all about Packers talk, and we'll get to that. And what we're talking about today on the show is the record profits made by the Packers this past year. The Packers released their financial report yesterday, their annual financial report. Every year this comes out prior to the annual shareholders meeting. You know, it's going to get some press again probably, or at least it'll be addressed again during the shareholders meeting in just about 2 weeks' time or so. When it'll be, you know, revealed or announced to all the shareholders in attendance. But the Packers always, you know, release this ahead of time to the media. So it's reported and it's out there. And great news, if you're a Packers fan, the Packers reporting record profits of, I believe the exact number is, their net profit, $42.7 million this past year. $42.7 million net. It's not gross, that's net. Jamie Jorzesk on the live blog. So when do I get paid my dividends? Yeah, unfortunately, as all Packers fans, all Packers owners know, your share does not pay dividends. You don't get that, but we are contributing, at least in a sense, to the record profits of the Green Bay Packers and how they're able to stay viable, how they're able to really thrive in today's day and age in the NFL is, you know, truly amazing. It really is. I sat there and I kind of looked at, I looked at this morning's Packers Daily Links, or when I was making this morning's Packers Daily Links, I looked at in addition to the record profits, behind that, you know, why are they making record profits? I saw the other records they were setting. The Packers set an attendance record this past year for the Packers Hall of Fame. They set a attendance record for Lambeau Field tours. In addition to that, they set record sales numbers at the Packers Pro Shop inside the Lambeau Field atrium. They also set record numbers for Packers Pro Shop gear online. Really, really, you know, all these things the Packers are doing so well. They really are. They're doing these things well. And of course, it's I think it has a lot to do with the recent Packers Super Bowl victory. You know, interest in the team worldwide was at an all-time high this past year. You know, the calendar year 2011. You know, I mean, it began with the playoffs and the Super Bowl early in the year, but it carried over into the next season, which the Packers went 15-1 in the regular season. That calendar year, you couldn't do a whole lot better. The season didn't end as well as the Packers won too with a loss in the playoffs. But that was 2012. We're talking about 2011 here. Calendar year 2011. Pretty awesome. You know, record profits. You know, that you look at the things like the Hall of Fame attendance, the tours, the pro shop and online sales. That is all what they call local revenue in the NFL. Things you do not have to share with other NFL teams. Now, there's revenue sharing to an extent in the NFL. The things like their national television contract, which is, you know, the main source of income for the entire NFL, pretty much. The money they get from their partnerships with Fox, CBS, ESPN, ABC for the rights to televise NFL games, those types of things. That's like the main source of income for the entire NFL, every team, but they share it. They all share it equally, all 32 teams. Things the Packers get to keep totally on their own is the local revenue, the money they generate at Lambeau Field, the money you dish out when you buy something at the pro shop, the money you dish out when you buy something from the concessions, when you pay for parking, when you're taking a Lambeau Field tour, when you're visiting the Hall of Fame. The Packers get to keep all that. So, you know, that's why they're doing all these things at Lambeau Field to keep the fans coming. It's why they're installing these new video boards. You know, they want fans to want to experience that in games. They want people to come see them during the Lambeau Field tours. That's that they want these things. They don't have to share that money with other NFL teams. And that's why the Packers are putting up record profits. You know, it's in the long run, it's keeping the team in Green Bay is what it's doing. And that's, you know, the bottom line, I think, of what the Packers want. They see the long-term goal, and they do kind of, you know, they kind of sell their soul to the devil a little bit. You know, I think some people are kind of turned off a little bit, and I think our own John Rahor could speak to this, turned off a little bit by, you know, the expansion of Lambeau Field, where it's kind of losing its intimacy a little bit. You're seeing the high-rise bleachers, padded seats going in, the huge Jumbotron, you know, scoreboards. And it does lose a little bit of its small-town feel. In that sense, they're kind of selling their soul to the devil a little bit. But, you know, with the larger goal in mind, by doing all these things, by making these record profits, they're making the team viable. They're keeping them in Green Bay, you know, whereas just over a little bit over a decade ago, and you go back and, you know, decades ago in the, you know, Curly Lambeau years when, I mean, that there were times when this team could have left Green Bay for a bigger market, you know. But that's what they're doing to survive. You know, that's what the Packers are doing to survive in today's day and age. You know, they're putting this money, putting it into the stadium, keeping, you know, fans' butts in the seats, and they're, you know, they've got this preservation fund that the Packers are doing, you know, over $100 million. You know, that just in case fund, you know, in case they ever needed to do something, whatever it may be, ever it may be. But, you know, that's the bottom line. The Packers are staying in Green Bay for the foreseeable future for a long time. I mean, it would take something drastic for the Packers to become like on the brink of moving again. It would take, you know, you talk about the down years in the 70s and the 80s, it would take almost, you know, two decades worth of futility like that again to put the Packers on the brink of moving. And you know, of course, fans don't want to see that. Fans don't want to see that, you know, come to fruition ever again. But I mean, you know, the direction the team is going under Mark Murphy, under Ted Thompson, under Mike McCarthy, they're in a good spot. You know, you don't see that on the horizon. You don't see the doldrum years on the horizon with the Packers. And it's, you know, because of the leadership they have in place right now, who are, for the most part, you know, doing the right things. And you know, they see the big picture, even if there are, you know, some things people disagree with along the way. You know, so that's where the Packers are at. That's why they're making record profits, as was announced yesterday. So there you go. Are you all psyched to get the financial report when you attend the shareholders meeting in 2 weeks? I think I saw just yesterday what a report from the Green Bay Press Gazette, maybe it was the day before. The Packers expecting around 25 or more thousand people for the shareholders meeting. If I'm correct, it was, you know, by Richard Ryman, who writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Not a sports reporter, he's kind of more of the general community reporter. But when they do things like, you know, talk about financials, he's kind of the guy, kind of a smart mind who doesn't get into X's and O's, but gets into dollar signs and decimal points for the Green Bay Press Gazette. And he does a good job of it. And I think he wrote or he talked to somebody within the organization, Packers expecting around 26,000 shareholders, which would be a record for the shareholders meeting. So, I mean, that, you know, obviously with the new stock sale taking place, they're concerned about how many people would show up. But the Lambeau Field Bowl itself can hold about 50,000, they've said. So they're not in danger necessarily of filling that up yet. We still have 2 weeks to go. And maybe that's coming, but the Packers are, as of now, doing all right, and everybody looks like they're going to get in, going to get a seat at the record attendance for the shareholders meeting. John Rayor says, "Wonder if it'll be 187 degrees the day of the shareholders meeting, like last year's was." Yeah, it was a hot one last year. It's tough to sit outside during that, but you know, that basically kicks off the start to training camp. You know, we've said before that that happens on Tuesday. What is it, Tuesday the 24th, something like that, and Wednesday the 25th the players report, if I'm correct, and then what is it, the 27th then training camp starts, or I'm sorry, the 26th. I'm getting my dates all mixed up here, but training camp starting soon. And that's why I wanted to do a little bit of time today, is kind of go through our annual, or I believe we began this last year, so our second annual position preview here on Railbird Central. And we'll start today with, you know, the position. You know, a lot of teams always, or a lot of media outlets always start with the quarterbacks, the most important position on the team, breaking down the quarterbacks, who the guys are on the roster, and, a lot of things you can go about. I mean, we'll spend our time going through the top guys. Obviously, we're going to spend some time talking about Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes I feel it's almost weird breaking down, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers on things like a position preview. I mean, what more can you say about Aaron Rodgers that hasn't already been said? But then we'll go into, you know, the guys further down the roster, the guys fighting for roster spots, and, you know, the quarterback position is always the smallest on the team, you know, the fewest number of players, except maybe if you count specialists. But anyhow, let's do it. quarterbacks. Of course, your reigning NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers, heads the position. I mean, again, what more can I say? He's probably the best player in the NFL. At least he was voted upon that in the NFL Network's recent listing of their top 100 players. Rodgers comes in at number one. I mean, he's really at the top of his game. I mean, he just does everything so well. I mean, you name it, his accuracy, his long ball, the mustard he can get on his throws, his athletic ability, very underrated, his ability to run with the ball, just the way he doesn't, you know, have any turnovers, whether it's interceptions or fumbles, another really underrated thing. Aaron Rodgers doesn't fumble, you know, at a position that has, you know, quarterbacks probably fumble the ball more than any other position, even more than running backs in the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't do it. You know, his ability to protect the football. And he just wins. He wins. I mean, he won the Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago. Regular season MVP. Leads him to a 15-1 record. We can only nitpick Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's things like he doesn't have that many game-winning drives like Brett Favre did. But things like that is nitpicking, because I mean, part of the reason you nitpick about things like that is he hasn't had to. I mean, he gets the Packers out to leads, and they don't have to come from behind. One of the few times they do last season in the regular season against the New York Giants, he does it. He did it. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't put him in that position. Or, of course, there's been other times when he has gone out to the Packers to a lead, and then the defense might blow it. You know, it's the defense that, you know, even kept games close in situations last year. Not Aaron Rodgers' fault. He's doing awesome. He's setting, you know, all-time passer rating records, which he did last year. His single-season passer rating record held by Aaron Rodgers. What was it, like 122.5? Something ridiculous. He's the man, right? What more can I say? Pardon me. Aaron Rodgers is the unquestioned starter at quarterback for the Packers, and he will be for years to come. There was a little bit of debate a couple weeks ago, all started by former Packers safety Leroy Butler, you know, a high-profile guy, a great Packer. It just tweeted saying about Aaron Rodgers shortly coming to a contract extension, and it you know, never did come to fruition. And Leroy Butler does have a little bit of egg on his face after kind of saying it was going to happen, or looked like it was going to happen. At least it isn't, you know, hasn't since that time. But, I mean, the next question is, you know, how long did the Packers lock him up for? When does this get done? Aaron Rodgers does have 3 more years on his current contract. But people, you know, generally say he's underpaid, by NFL standards compared to other people at his position. And quarterbacks obviously being the highest paid players in the NFL. I mean, compare them to the Peyton Mannings, the Drew Breeses, people like that. He's underpaid. And I guess what the real kicker is he's paid less than guys like Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets, who, you know, just recently got his own, you know, contract as well. And that's why Aaron Rodgers is behind him as of right now. Obviously, the next contract Aaron Rodgers gets, he'll be way ahead of, you know, guys like Mark Sanchez. But, you wonder when this is going to get done. It might be smart for the Packers to get this done. Obviously, would be smart for the Packers to get this done ahead of time before his contract expires. You don't want a situation where, like, what Drew Brees is right now, you know, with the New Orleans Saints. Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, it'll be interesting to see what Jennings gets for a next contract. And you know, you understand that that kind of plays into the whole Aaron Rodgers thing as well. I mean, the Packers have guys like Jennings whose contracts are going to come up before Aaron Rodgers. Clay Matthews, BJ Raji, TJ Lang, guys like that. They might be the priority from the sense that their contracts expire first. But, I mean, at some point, contract extension coming for Aaron Rodgers. The only question is when, I think. The Packers would obviously be foolish to let him go. I mean, it's not even really, you know, it's not even reality there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a member of the Packers. The Packers would do anything it takes to keep him in the fold. Barring just absolutely catastrophic, unforeseen situations. And again, it'd be a waste of time to even get into things like that. But the question marks on the team from the quarterback position would be the backups, right? Of course, Matt Flynn left in free agency this year, wanting to become the starter of his own team. So he signs with the Seattle Seahawks, and, you know, former Packers front office guy John Schneider heading the team out there. Now the general manager on Seattle joins him out there. He's in a fight for the starting job along with former Wisconsin quarterback Russell Wilson, along with Tavares Jackson out there in Seattle. But, you know, more than likely Matt Flynn is going to become the starter out in Seattle. And I think it's almost a given. It's just that the coaches are, you know, playing it up like there's a quarterback battle, or, you know, just doing the right thing, really, and, you know, making it an open battle. But, you know, the Packers, or the Seahawks paid Matt Flynn to be a starter out there. He's going to be the starter. So he leaves, and now the Packers have a question mark at their backup spot, the number two spot. And the incumbent is Graham Harrell, you know, last year's number three quarterback. Hasn't seen time in any NFL game yet. Hasn't seen any NFL action. And I thought I heard somewhere he's the only backup quarterback in the NFL that's never played before. Or, you know, at least projected. NFL backup, projected number two guy who's never seen any NFL action. You know, we're talking regular season here, not preseason. Obviously, he's playing preseason games. But yeah, so Graham Harrell gonna get the first shot, and you have to imagine. I imagine he's going to win it. I mean, I just don't think a guy like BJ Coleman is ready yet. I don't think the Packers are in any market to sign, like, some veteran backup that's out there on the market. I mean, who's out there? Donovan McNabb? He's about the only realistic name out there that could even be possibly thrown around that any team out there could sign if they need an emergency starter. And, you know, if an injury comes along to Graham Harrell, you know, not that we're hoping for that, but, I mean, that's about the only way the Packers would be interested in signing someone off the street. But Graham Harrell, he knows the offense. He's been around the block now. Now, I've said this before. I mean, he hasn't played an NFL snap, but this is going to be, I think, his fourth year in the since leaving college. I should phrase it that way. His fourth professional year since leaving college. His first year, he didn't play with any NFL team. You'll remember he actually signed with the Cleveland Browns, but ended up getting cut, spent a little bit of time in the Canadian Football League. But after that, came to the Packers, been with the Packers for the past 2 years. He knows the system by now. He knows the offense probably in and out. You know, And this year, he got to go through Coach Mike McCarthy's quarterback camp. Obviously, that's a positive. Albeit, yes, it was a scaled-down version. Now, with the NFL rules prohibiting the amount of practice time, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, Graham Harrell, he's ready for his chance, I think. You know, and I personally think he's going to do a pretty good job. I like his qualities. Yes, he maybe doesn't have the cannon NFL arm, but it's accurate, obviously, from, you know, seeing the time he spent at Texas Tech system in college, record-setting quarterback, the dink and dunk. I shouldn't even call it dink and dunk. I mean, that's almost, you know, to not give it its due. I mean, run and shoot. I mean, they were shooting all the time there at Texas Tech. Just firing the ball all over the place to different targets. And, you know, maybe you might argue that some of them weren't always deep. But, you know, that's the type of offense they ran. And I think Graham Harrell can be effective. I don't know if, you know, God forbid Aaron Rodgers gets injured. I don't know if Graham Harrell can be the guy who steps in for a long amount of time. But I think he can be a short-term backup. Hopefully he gets a little bit of experience this year, gets his feet wet, and maybe some mop-up duty. At least he gets a little bit of experience. And then who knows, maybe in another season two, he is ready. He is ready to play full-time. He is ready to play at the level of a Matt Flynn. I don't expect he's there yet. But I think he's going to win it. He's going to get that job. He's going to get that shot. You know, the number three projected quarterback, B.J. Coleman. Rookie this year, seventh round draft choice. I thought was a good choice for the Packers in the seventh round. You know, I thought it kind of a choice would have came down between him and Northern Illinois' Chandler Harnish. And the Packers went with who's probably the more accomplished passer of the two. Went with Coleman, you know, and, you know, we don't know anything about him yet. And if you went to any mini camp practices or OTAs, maybe you got a peek at him. But I mean, you're really going to get a handle on what he's got going for him in training camp in the preseason. And you're still not going to see a whole lot of him compared to Aaron Rodgers and Graham Harrell. Graham Harrell's going to get a ton of time this preseason. You know, the Packers know what they got in Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to, you know, they're going to want to get him ready, so he's going to get his fair share of playing time, obviously, as the starter. They want him to become in sync with his receivers, want him to have a full command of the offense. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a bulk of the playing time. But after that, you know, in case anything happens to Rodgers, they want Graham Harrell to be ready as the number two guy. He's going to get the second most time. And, you know, B.J. Coleman, it's unfortunate, but, you know, you're just not going to see a ton of them. That's just the way the NFL is. I mean, you'll probably see a lot of them you'll see a lot of them during family night. It'll be the most playing time he gets in any game type of situation. It's not even really a game. In the first preseason game, he'll play, you know, a good quarter plus. But after that, you know, they tend not to give a whole lot of time to the backup quarterback. You know, he might get a quarter every game or so. And, you know, 50% of the time he's just handing the ball off. So you don't always get to see what he's got throwing the ball. But we'll get a glimpse. We'll get a glimpse and find out what he's got finally, you know, to a small extent when training camp starts here in a couple days. So it'll be exciting to see. Who knows? Maybe he's the number two guy of the future. Maybe B.J. Coleman is a future starter. I remember Matt Flynn was a seventh-round draft choice. Nobody knew what they had in him back then either. So that's where the Packers are at. Pretty cut and dried at the quarterback position. You know what's going to happen. I mean, again, unless, you know, something unforeseen happens, like injury. You know, then maybe things will change. They sign someone, but, I mean, that's the only way. Things are cut and dried with the quarterback position. Next episode of Railbird Central. On Friday, we'll be back. We'll go over the running backs then. How about that? K Kevin Lamb comments on the live blog. I'll be watching this camp to this year, who the third down back will be, Starks, Green, or Kuhn. We'll touch on that on Friday on the running backs. We'll do our, as we go through our position profiles here prior to training camp. We'll probably run into the beginning of training camp as well. But thanks everybody for joining us here on this Wednesday, our coming back from vacation episode. Hope everybody's having a good summer out there. Enjoy it now. A little bit of a rest here. Really, you got about 2 weeks here. Get a little bit of calm, and then the storm starts. The unending monster until the playoffs are done. Until the Packers either win the Super Bowl or are eliminated. It gets going in full gear, and it doesn't stop for months on end. But that's a good thing, right, if you're a football fan. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you again on Friday, 2 days' time. Stay tuned, as usual, for all your Packers news needs at CheeseheadTV.com. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, my name is Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident, who I saw at Red Rocks on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. See ya. Whoa, that's not it. Okay. It's not symphonic music. I hope this is it. See you, everyone. That's good news. Ha 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 ha!